Before I get to the sermon, I'd like to ask you to join me in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 3. And please forgive the podium, but my back is killing me. Ephesians chapter 3. I have asked you in the past to do this, and I'd like to ask you again. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, records Paul's prayer with the church in Ephesus. And it is a wonderful prayer for the church. And I would like to ask for you to join with me in committing to praying this prayer, applying it to New Sterling in general and specifically for the next 30 days. I've done this before and could just feel the Spirit's working. And so I'd like to ask you to do that. Just simply open this up to Ephesians 3. 14 through 21, and as you have the words there, please do that for us here at New Sterling. I would greatly appreciate it. Now, if you would please join me in John chapter 6 as we prepare for communion. Today is the when the world, if you will, the evangelical church, brothers and sisters who call on Jesus Christ, the World Day of Communion. We all try to, on this particular day, come and celebrate this together. So it is truly a communion, community-type vision, type looking at the Lord's table today, and so it is a special day. But I want to dig into a passage that I've made reference to that's quite a difficult and complex passage. In John chapter 6, verse 53. I made reference to it to the children, and I ask you to try to help them with it afterwards, later. And if you get to the point where you go, wow, this is just tough, that's okay. Because theologians have been struggling with this passage for quite a long time. Join me, chapter 6 of John, verse 53 and following. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is real food, and My blood is real drink. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood remains in Me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of His Word and certainly our understanding. I think most of you know me well enough that I'm a rather literalist when it comes to Scripture. I hold Scripture pretty literal, taking into consideration its literature style and things of that sort that helps us to understand the Scriptures. But in these letters, I'm pretty literal when it comes to the Scriptures. But here, I have to be careful, because if I were a true literalist when looking at this passage, then I am about to teach you cannibalism. Because Jesus truly says, "Eat of My flesh and drink of My blood." But we all know that's not what He's referring to. But context here is key. Context here is key in understanding what Jesus is bringing to His disciples, bringing to us. If you look back at the beginning of chapter 6, you may have a subheading where it says, "Jesus feeds the 5,000. Here Jesus, in one of His miracles, feeds all of those that have been following Him. Following this, Jesus walks on water, crosses the Sea of Galilee, and they are the people who are following Him are grumbling. Jesus is calling on them to believe in Him, and they're saying, "Well, give us something to see. Let us see a miracle. Let us see something that can attest to your position, and we will believe in you." You know, I almost want Jesus to throw up His hands and go, "Were you not just there? 5,000 on a few loaves? But no, he didn't. But he understands that the people who are following him at this point, not all of them are true disciples. They are following with their stomachs. They're following with their stomachs. They're hungry. They want to be fed. They fed off the bread. They want to be fed again. They want the physical thing. Jesus is saying, your fathers ate the physical thing, manna, and they died. But here I am to feed you the spiritual bread, the spiritual drink, the drink and food that brings you everlasting life, not life here in this temporal age. The point I'd like to make is in verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. I can't stress enough the importance of understanding, trying to grasp hold of what Jesus is speaking of here. That when he says he is living because of the Father, meaning that he is here to do nothing other than the Father's will, and he gains his essence, his being, his entire ministry on performing, conducting, doing that which the Father has called on him to do, and he lives doing nothing else. And he says, similarly, you only live when you do what I have called on you to do. When you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that is only when you truly live. The cynical might say, well, Pastor Tim, all of us here are living. Well, I would question. Yes, we may be existing, but are we truly living? And for many reasons and in many ways, I think the church has traveled and wandered so far from the essence and the truthfulness of Scripture that when we say these words, eat on the flesh of Jesus Christ, drink of His blood, that we really don't understand or get a grasp of what that means. And the teaching in the church is so frail these days that, really? I'm doing the best I can, living my life, running my world. I do the Jesus thing. I come to church. But are we truly living? Are we truly obedient? Are we truly denying all of that that is conflicting for our time and putting Jesus Christ first? This is one of those sermons, I've said this before, but this is one of those sermons where I wish I had a large mirror right here. You know, because I think I'm preaching to me more than you. There's so many things going on in life that distract. There's so many things going on in our world that pull us away. And we run in and we try to do our devotion time. We run in and we try to do our prayer time. We have fellowship, but there's issues going on and this one's talking and this one's going. And it's just, and we try, but we're just not there. And I think unless we literally pull away and delve deeply into the Scriptures, deeply into what Jesus Christ has for us through the Holy Spirit, then we will merely be existing and not truly living. And not truly living. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, and remains in me, I will be in him. There's a similar passage that is familiar to many of you. You know where I'm going. John 15. John 15, 5. On Sunday evenings, we've been talking about symbols, images, things in the Scriptures that are pictorial in fashion, and trying to help us not only hear and read the words, but use that symbol, that image to bring a deeper meaning to our minds. Well, here's another one of those occasions. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Very similar passage, very similar statement as to what we read earlier in John chapter 6. Unless you eat of the flesh, unless you drink of the blood, you have no life in you. Unless we remain attached to the vine, we have no life. We can do nothing. And I ask you to form this picture in your mind. We've just finished the growing season. The tomatoes are running out and everything is dying. The cooler weather is beautiful, but that season has passed for us. But when you went out and picked that tomato or the okra that David cuts for us, as soon as it leaves the vine, it begins the death process. And as long as it's attached, literally, physically attached, is the only time it has life. That is the only way it has life. Jesus is saying here, I'm the vine, you are the branches. As long as that branch is attached to that vine, there's life. But you remove it, death begins. The instant it removed, it is removed, death begins. Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, unless you stay attached and remain in me, you begin the death process. And he is speaking spiritually, of course. This is not a one-time occasion. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 6. Excuse me, 2 verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. Colossians 2, 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue. There are many in the church today who make such emphasis on salvation. And rightly so. Salvation is the beginning of life. Salvation is the rebirth. Salvation is dying to the old and becoming that new creature. And it is that thing that brings us all into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are those, and not pointing fingers, but just stating the obvious, that put so much emphasis on that coming to salvation, we lose sight of the continuing of salvation. Sanctification. Yeah, we're born through salvation as mere infants. And we do not go through life as mere infants. We are to grow. And as we stay attached to that vine, as we stay attached to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul calls on the church here in Colossae to do, continue. Remember back to days when you first came to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Remember back to those days when there's new learning, new experiences, the new feeling of maturing and growing in Him. Yet in our age, we grow old and slow, and we don't move quite so well, and things are just a little tougher to do. We pray for the Spirit's guidance and power here to continue with that same fervency that we had in the beginning. That's what Paul is telling the church here in Colossae to do. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, don't stop. Continue receiving Him as Lord throughout all of your life. How do we do this? 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. Verse 5, I think I'll begin. 1 John 2, 5. Two things. Verse 5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. A test. How do we know that we are abiding? How do we know that we are remaining? How do we know that we are attached? How do we know that we are truly living? Obedience. So simple, it's difficult. Obedience. Do we do in our lives daily the things which promote Jesus Christ as Lord in our life? Are we obedient to this word? Do we feed off of it? Was it Jeremiah who said, I take it and eat it. Eat it. Because he knew of the sustaining power of the Word. Today we have the theological battles of inerrancy and infallibility, and can you truly believe the Word of God? There are many who will attest that it was written by men of the first century as they had in their own way of understanding things. And today we're a much wiser people. We are much more intelligent today. We can't follow this archaic word. The one who states that is the same one who denies the authenticity and the relevancy of the Holy Spirit. This word is as fresh today as it was when it dripped off of John's pen in the late 90s AD. It's just as applicable to me today as it was to the first church who heard it the first day he read it to that church. Obedience. That means the hard parts and the parts we like, the parts we might disagree with, the parts we don't understand fully. It means all of it. Always. Secondly, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in Him, Jesus, must walk as Jesus did. How did Jesus walk upon this earth? Sinlessly, perfected, total obedience. And certainly that is our goal. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount calls us to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. But can we attain such things? No. But is it our desire? Is it our desire? Or do we grow apathetic? Is it our desire to live our lives just as Jesus did? Here again is the time I put the mirror up for me. Conversations I've had that I didn't quite act like Jesus. My thoughts toward another person, not quite like Jesus did it. How I handled a situation, not like Jesus would do it. But do I have the desire in my heart to do that? Yeah. Do I know as Clint Eastwood would say, a man's limitation? I see mine every day. Are we honest enough to know our limitations and know that without the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we could never do this? But do you desire to do that which would attest to you being attached, to you eating and drinking of the Lord Jesus? As a pastor, my job is to be like the guard on the watchtower, looking out across the horizon and protecting you from whatever might be coming towards you that could affect or damage or hurt the church, the body of Christ. But part of my job also is to look within the walls and see what's doing damage inside the walls. Folks, I implore you, with all that I have, to search out your heart and your soul honestly and earnestly and ask yourself the hard questions. And don't lie to yourself. Am I doing the things daily that would reveal that I am obedient, that I am attached, that I am taking the flesh of Jesus Christ and the blood of His body and making it a part of my life every day? And then after I get up off the floor, I'll say, Lord, forgive me. And Holy Spirit, teach me. Because I ain't doing so good. But as a pastor, there's troubles and trials outside the church that'll do us damage. Y'all know many of those as well as I do. I don't have much influence on changing those. I can warn you of them. But in these walls, where we live and breathe and have our being and our fellowship and our love and our nurturing and our caring for each other as we worship the Lord Jesus together, are we growing? Are we maturing? Are we holding on to Jesus Christ with all that we have? Sacrificing, giving away anything that stands in the way of that attachment. I named the sermon, Living on Jesus. Living on Jesus. Again, sometimes it's so simple, it's hard. Really? Is that all? Yeah. That's all. As we come to this table today, Jesus said to remember. The choir sang, remember. Okay? You remember his life. You remember the teaching. You remember the crucifixion, the resurrection. But simply remembering is not enough. Do we live it? Breathe it? Make it a part of who we are. That's what it means to abide. That's what it means to remain. That's what it means to attach. I pray for you. I ask that you pray for me. That we together do this.